May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When we were sharing dinners with our neighbor at the cottage during one of our early summers there, I was delighted to adopt a new expression I learned from them. We'd be clearing up and doing the dishes, of course, no dishwasher at the cabin, right? And when I offered to dry the dishes, my neighbor said, "That's okay, we'll leave them for God to dry." We use that expression all the time now. We'll leave them for God to dry. We'll leave it for God to handle. Hang on to that thought. The 8 verses of John's Gospel we read this morning are entitled "Jesus Calls Philip and Nathanael" in my Bible. It's part of the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, according to John's Gospel. Jesus is building his following, calling disciples to join him. It takes place only 2 days after Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist, who recognizes and testifies that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And as we heard in last week's gospel, John the Baptist saw the Spirit descend upon Jesus and heard the voice of God declare Jesus to be his son. It's a monumental moment in the lives of both of these men. John has been preaching about repentance his entire ministry in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, and now Jesus, the Messiah's ministry of salvation, is about to begin. Well, the day after Jesus was baptized, John sees Jesus approaching him. He has two of his disciples with him, John's disciples, and he again proclaims Jesus to be the Lamb of God. And the two disciples, one of whom is Andrew, follow after Jesus. They ask him where he is staying, and he says, "Come and see." Andrew first finds his brother Simon and brings him to Jesus, and this is, of course, is Simon, whom Jesus renames Peter, our famous Peter. And now we reach the gospel verses of today. It's day 3. And Jesus finds Philip in Galilee and invites him to follow also. Philip, apparently from the same city as Andrew and Simon Peter, happily does so. Maybe he recognizes these familiar faces. But not before he hurries to find his brother Nathanael, excitedly proclaiming he's found the one spoken of in the law and the prophets, in other words, the Messiah. So we're at 5 disciples now. Well, maybe almost, because at first pass, it isn't clear that Nathanael is completely convinced. And I love this bit. Philip explains to Nathanael who the Messiah is. It's Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth, that guy. And what's Nathanael's response? Do you remember what he says? Yes. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? His reaction is like, "What? Say what?" Right? In other words, how could someone so important possibly come out of some little backwater place like that? It would be as if I ran up to any one of you with the same news and said, "The Messiah is here. Guess what? He grew up in Balzac or Pinoca," right? Seriously? But here's the best part. Philip's response to Nathanael's doubtful, somewhat cynical observation. Does Philip go into a long, drawn-out defense, or does he turn into a persuader or get angry with Nathanael because Nathanael won't follow him or questions him? No, what does he say? "Come and see. Come and see for yourself." Just what Jesus had said to Andrew and the other disciples the day before, "Come and see." And Nathanael does. And after meeting and dialoguing with Jesus and being amazed that Jesus had already seen him before he met him, proclaims, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Nathanael has seen, and not just with his eyes. There's a greater spiritual awareness, an awakening to faith, and a clearer understanding of who Jesus is. Let God do the work. How often do we forget that we do not have all the power? We are not the ones in control. How often do we forget to let go and let God? I know it sounds like a corny old adage, but it's true. It is God who does the real heavy lifting. Jesus invited a few people to follow him, and those people invited others, and it didn't take long for there to be a tremendous following in only 3 years without social media and technology. People, once they met and heard Jesus, felt compelled to simply say to those they knew or met, "Man, you have got to hear this guy. Come and see." And then trusted Jesus to do what he needed to do. I don't think we're terribly good at that today, do you? We've been schooled and influenced by the world out there that results only happen when we do what needs to be done to make them happen. And I wonder if that hasn't filtered into the church too. How often do we become obsessed with figuring out how to get more, right, bums in seats, as they say, people in the pews on a Sunday morning? What do we need to do to effect growth? And over the years, I and many of you here who have been with St. George's for decades, right, even have been part of programs, plans, conferences, brainstorming sessions, you name it, about how to attract more people to the church. How? By our own efforts, mostly. We think we must be the influencers, the game changers, the persuaders, the enforcers, the promoters. And that's intimidating, right? And ineffective. Really, we just need to do one simple thing. Trust that if we have the opportunity to say, "Come and see," to someone when the time is right, that God will take over from there. This is actually the premise of a spiritual exercise begun by Michael Harvey in England a number of years ago. He's been going around the world to churches everywhere, introducing his idea that we just need to start each day with a simple request to God. 14 words. Lord, who do you want me to connect with outside in the world today? Who do you want me to connect with outside in the world today? And then go on with your day. Michael came to Calgary last fall and spoke to the clergy in the diocese about it. And I think he's actually spoken here at St. George's back when Clara was here. So some of you may remember him. He's a wonderful man to listen to. And there are a few groups that were already practicing this in their parishes throughout our diocese, as when he spoke with us last fall. And it's something we hope to explore here at St. George's down the road. When someone is placed in our way and we do respond to God's call and have a moment with them, what do? We simply ask, "How are you?" And when they say, "Oh, fine," we say, "Really? How are you?" And then listen. When we connect with people and actually listen, we begin to learn bits of their stories. We've been doing a little bit of that, right, with each other during the last two stewardship campaigns this past fall and the one before. And it always amazes me how much I don't know about someone because I have not taken the proper time to ask the question and then truly listen, and not jump in with what I have to offer in the conversation. Just last week, I was out with the dog, obviously before this Arctic vortex descended, And she was off leash, riding in the ravine alongside the bike path that I was walking on. And a man approached from the opposite direction, was kind of laughing and smiling at me as I was walking while calling for my dog. And as we came alongside, I said, yeah, it's never a good thing when you meet someone with a leash and there's no dog attached to it, right? Well, my dog soon joined us and he bent down to pat her and we started chatting. And I found out from this total stranger that he had a kidney removed due to an aggressive form of kidney cancer. Had had genetic testing done, because apparently his father had died from this and was on immunotherapy. He was about my age and he used to run and work out, and now it was just a struggle to go for a walk. And I asked him his name, John. And I told him I would pray for him. And I hope I see him on the path again so we can chat some more, because that's how we build up the relationships, even with sometimes total strangers. And I've met lots of people on my walks around my neighborhood and gotten to know them. You know, you have those kinds of friends, right? Working friends that you see on that basis, people that you meet on walks or wherever, and you can actually build relationships that way. I also have a friend of 10 years or so who I used to work with in the corporate sector. We stayed connected, and she's been through a lot, often shares her struggles with me. She's also a lapsed Roman Catholic and has experienced a lot of hurt through the church. And after 10 years, she actually said in a conversation we had last fall that she feels she's missing out in her faith life, and perhaps we could talk about that. Lord, who do you want me to connect with outside the church family today? Can lead to. Come and see. Philip already had a relationship with his brother Nathaniel, Andrew with his brother Simon, so it took no time at all for them to say, come, see. It may take 10 years or more for you to be able to say that to someone. That's okay. God has a plan, and we are not journeying alone. During this season of Epiphany, when we celebrate the light of Christ that has broken the darkness, may we truly see. And may we, like Nathaniel, experience a greater spiritual awareness, an awakening of our faith, and a clearer understanding of Jesus and the salvation that is available not only to us, but for all through knowledge and love of Him. There's a fabulous song that some of us learned at the Images of Spirituality retreat weekend a few years back, and we've sung it here a few times too, I think. It's called Come and Journey with Me. And I'll close with some of the lyrics. Hear the voice of Jesus saying, come, let the sun fill up your eyes. Take the time to look around and love. Just love and walk with each other. Come and journey with me. Come and see. Come and be. Be all you are and all you can be, and leave all behind and calm your mind. Let go, let God, right? Come and journey with me. Come and journey with me. I pray for us all that we may truly come and see our Lord. Amen.